Hello, welcome to Your Politics from the RTE Politics team in Leinster House. I'm Áine Lawler. With me, Micheál Lehane and Paul Cunningham. Before we talk about the big topics of the week, Paul.
Yes.
I woke up this morning and there it was, Paul's blog quoting Marcus Aurelius all about Aginsint Breaga. No, Aginsint Breag.
Yes.
Yes.
Gaelgors have been fighting in the streets over exactly what was said by the Taoiseach Micheál Martin. So I had to resort to going back to the famous Roman emperor and Stoic philosopher Marcus, his book Meditations, which lies by my bed every night. And he was talking about coining memorable phrases, one related to making sure that you don't have a confused mind or rambling thoughts. Now, perish anyone could think that there'd be rambling thoughts happening in the Dáil chamber. But certainly in that moment, in that exchange, one could see that Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, was irked at a narrative which had been established by the opposition parties that Fianna Fáil, and him in particular, was basically being, you know, pulled by the nose by property developers and international investors, and that they were taking decisions about the future housing policy, which were going to be catastrophic. And what Micheál Martin was trying to say in the Dáil was, number one, we're announcing a review. Two, no decisions have been made. And three, this narrative is wrong. And he decided to say, not under his breath, but as Gaeilge, that Mary Lou MacDonald, the Sinn Féin leader, was telling a lie or telling lies depending on which person you're talking to from different parts of the country. But it certainly did lead to a big brouhaha. The Mary Lou MacDonald has written to the Cian Coil of Rona Murphy, who unfortunately isn't fluent in Irish, and said he said something that under the standing orders he's not allowed to say and he needs to retract it at the earliest possible opportunity, and that's where it hangs.
Why is lie, and this is again where you were using Marcus Aurelius to set all of this out for us, why is lie one of the words you can't say in the Dáil and what can you not use?
Well, the basic premise is that anyone who is speaking, any member who is speaking in the Dáil chamber is speaking the truth or what they believe to be the truth. So if you take that as the baseline, then it isn't possible and certainly not appropriate for anyone to suggest that you are lying or telling a lie or that you're a liar or that you're misstating someone's position or that it's an untruth or anything like that. What was interesting about these standing orders, they run to 78 pages. Basically, I put my hands up. I hadn't read them. I usually read the relevant section, not the whole document. But it is a document which is based not just on one ruling, but rulings over time. So we do have words contained which members are not allowed to say of the other in the Dáil chamber, which are no longer usually being expressed. So I didn't know, but it's you're not allowed to say gutter snipe in the Dáil. You're not allowed to say I could not call Micheál Lehane, who's sitting beside me here, I could not call him a Yahoo. This is immediately out of order. I can't call him a gurrier. I can't call them. There's all rake ones that sounded as if they came from sort of like some like an Irish highwayman, Captain Morgan from Mayo in the late 1700s.
Things no relation of yours, Micheál.
No, but you couldn't say that. I can't call Micheál Lehane a smuggler. That's one I wouldn't have expected that I might be calling another member. Or it wasn't possible to say that make an accusation that a minister in the Department of Agriculture was trying to appropriate land. Now, why it is limited to the Minister for Agriculture as opposed to any other minister, yeah, I don't know. But it's great fun. But the salient point and the row remains, and that one has to be issued. And I think just on the basis of what we know so far, I think Micheál Martin will have to walk back.
Yes, the Cian Coil is saying she's going to go back and look at the record, and obviously the translations will be looked at too. Micheál, this all arose out of... Micheál Martin was interviewed at the weekend and he spoke about, you know, the rent pressure zones and the difficulty this was posing in terms of getting investors into the Irish market. And there's this idea of reference rents. And that whole story seems to have run away quite a bit with him. Simon Harris contradicting.
Yes, Simon Harris not keen at all. If anything led to higher rents and saying you'd need to see evidence and data to support that. So, I mean, that shows immediately the pressure that government are under, because TDs from across the house have been getting calls from worried tenants who fear that if there's anything beyond the rent pressure zones, that 2% hike a year, that they would be in great difficulty, and probably some of them saying that they could end up homeless. So as government is trying to suggest that it's looking for new ideas, the two things it's talking about really aren't appealing to many people. That is tax incentives or tax breaks for developers, and also changing the rent system, yeah, that could lead to increased rents. So it does show that the new government as it searches for new ideas and begins that process is under real pressure to try and find them. But there's no obvious ones yet that are going to meet with any political praise, I think.
And it all gets back to this intractable issue of delivery on housing. And because even though the government's spending a fortune at the moment, Paul, we need private sector investment. And private sector investment is looking for more of the return on their investment than they're getting on the 2% and the rent pressure zones.
Yeah, so what Micheál Martin articulates in this way is to say that the state is going to spend at least 6 billion, maybe a few more, but at least 6 billion. But the cost of what we need to do is around 20 billion. So on that basis, it's not possible for the state to do that much. And so therefore, private investment is required. And he would like that anyway, says in a fully functional housing system, it would work. And obviously, you've got an opposition, Sinn Féin, Social Democrats, Labour Party saying, no, the private sector is not going to be able to do what needs to be done, particularly for smaller, affordable homes. And therefore, it has to be the state and whatever vehicle you want to use. Labour Party is talking about, you know, this basically state building fund. People for profit say that was our idea 5 years ago, but you stole it. But nonetheless, there's a view that it has to be the state.
The only thing that's off the table for the government as well. It does seem to be open to every idea bar the state construction company, which would be, some say, the big radical step. But Micheál Martin said very clearly that would take a very long time to establish, which is probably a legitimate point as well.
And we still haven't heard how the government, you know, given what we know now, and the 40,000 figure didn't appear last year, and there's this issue with delivery. Where's the plan to deal with it? They haven't, you know, what are they going to do this year to try and meet their target this year?
Yeah, that's the thing. And even the figure that they're using for the 60,000 commencements is being described by the Social Democrats as dodgy data once again. So there still is a fight over figures. But I suppose there is nothing obvious to suggest that there is a way of building a huge, more increased number of homes quickly.
So housing continues to be the big question on the domestic agenda. But the other big question that's been knocking around this week is whether we're going to be going to the White House. And if we do, what we say, given that the new Trump administration has certainly been making an awful lot of headlines about Gaza and about Ukraine this week.
Yeah, I think that it's clear now from the government that if an invitation does come from the White House, they're going to go. And the plan is for Micheál Martin to fly to Austin, Texas, and then to D.C. Simon Harris disclosed before going into cabinet that he'd be going to New York and I think it was Philadelphia. So the two top leaders, effectively the Prime Minister and Deputy Prime Minister, are going to go to the States. They're saying that that is not related to Trump. It's a part of a wider relationship that Ireland has with the United States and that they're about multilateral diplomatic engagement. So when you get into the meeting and the cameras go away and you close the door, then you have those conversations. Clearly it's been raised I saw the SDLP are not going to go on point of principle in relation to Gaza. It's been pushed to Micheál Martin that he should re-examine the issue again. I think from the government side, this is like no-brainer. They're definitely going.
And Sinn Féin normally send a delegation, but again, we don't know what will be happening in that regard this year, do we?
No, that's not clear. But there is no doubt the government will go. I suppose the only doubt is there a slight question mark as to whether they will get the invitation? That still hasn't been issued, but they say that isn't uncommon, that it is quite close to the time before they would do so. Mm-hmm. And then how strong will Micheál Martin be when it comes to issues like Gaza? Others too say that the signals that he's been sending out in recent days around security, that is all a pitch that he will make to Donald Trump as well, to try and show that Ireland is able to defend itself and will be making moves in that direction, and that he's preparing the audience for that. That is something he's going to emphasise in the White House.
Because that has been a critique of multiple US presidents, that whether you're in NATO or not in NATO, that Europe isn't spending enough in defence and is effectively relying on the United States as a backstop to bail them out.
Well, Pete Hegseth made it pretty clear that NATO's on its own anyway, didn't he, at that meeting in Brussels yesterday? I mean, I know if we go, we'll be going there with the Shamrock. There's a big delegation going. There's Simon Harris has set up his new committees all about the US relationship and so on. But this Trump administration is rewriting the rules and they're doing it their way. They're interested in trade and tariffs. We're, I think, seventh on the list of countries they have a trade deficit with. We're really high up. We're on the front line of the row about, you know, tech and AI and all of that. So
I think, well,
even if Micheál Martin does get to the White House, even if he gets the face-to-face with Donald Trump, it could end up being a pretty torrid experience.
But, well, it certainly could, because unpredictability is part of President Trump. But one always has to remember that when it comes to trade, trade is an EU competence. When it comes to any issue on digital controls of AI, you're talking about EU legislation. So I think if the guns are going to come out, they're going to be directed towards Brussels, less so Ireland. And so it really depends on, you know, how Donald Trump feels about Ireland, and therefore, by consequence, then how far Micheál Martin is prepared to push it.
Has an ability to navigate such waters, though Micheál Martin is someone who is experienced enough probably to do that and can smile through many difficulties if that's what's required.
I was remembering that moment, although this is very, it's very different, this second Trump term, isn't it, in terms of, you know, the speed at which he is breaking through a lot of traditional norms. But do you remember that moment in the first term when Enda Kenny was in the White House giving the bowl of shamrock? And he actually managed to talk about St. Patrick being an immigrant to President Trump's face and using humour to make a point that maybe the American president didn't want to hear. It's just hard to see that same reaction this time.
Well, I think Micheál mentioned this either last week or the week before, is that in the what's coming from the White House at the moment, whether it's from Trump or from his officials, it doesn't seem to be daggers drawn against Ireland. It's a wider sort of target in the context of the European Union. And given that, I know people know it, but it's always worth stating, that incredible soft power we have in which most United States cities stop and celebrate St. Patrick's. I mean, the influence is absolutely monumental. And that also reflects back on a president who's aware that many Irish extraction voters, many of them Catholics, are actually voting Republican. Maybe it just might lend itself to say, at least on this particular day, it isn't worth causing any trouble.
There'll be a lot of forced smiles, will there?
Yeah, I just think there probably still is enough there, and there's enough of ceremony around it, and Micheál Martin has enough experience. He will get a lot of criticism from back here, I'd say, for not being strong enough in how he approaches this. But he can get through an event like this. And I mean, when Donald Trump did speak about his planning difficulties relatively recently, it wasn't against what was happening in Ireland. It was what the EU planning laws in particular that he took aim at.
But the Occupied Territories Bill and, of course, the Sinn Féin motion voted down this week with the government's majority. But the opposition would argue that the government's, you know, changing stance on that from its much more full-throated support during the election campaign, that's signs of a rollback already.
Oh, yeah, clearly. And I mean, there's stronger signal this week that it will be just confined to goods. It won't include boycotting services as well. And again, the cover that's used for that by the Taoiseach and others consistently is that it has to be done lawfully. Again, no great sense that this is going to happen quickly at all either. This is going to take time to get right is the standard language there.
And the new Arts Minister, Patrick O'Donovan, discovered a bit of a mess, didn't he, when he went into the department?
He did. An IT system at the Arts Council that cost a lot of money and wasn't successful, just under 7 million spent on it. And he's desperately angry, as he said, about it all. I still think this is a crisis that the government actually likes. They don't have to talk about housing. They can be seen to be tough on waste. It's at a step removed from them. The minister who was in charge the last time is no longer there, Catherine Martin. Indeed, a secretary general at that department is no longer there either. So this is something that Patrick O'Donovan can become desperately angry about. It's something that Simon Harris can talk in the chamber today about, that there are consequences for civil servants if they don't do things correctly as well, and codes are breached and money is spent wrongly. And they can be seen to deal with that charge of being serial wasters. I just think there is something about all of this that is neatly enough fits the government, notwithstanding the waste of public money and the anger that will justifiably cause.
And just to prove that point, the Taoiseach Simon Harris was very happy that to accede to a Labour Party request for a Dáil debate in relation to the crisis that was happening in the Arts Council. And he wasn't going to shirk or shy away from the fact that the department and some of its officials clearly were on the watch but hadn't informed the cabinet early enough. And everything was going to have to be on the table. Very comfortable.
When Catherine Martin left office, the previous minister, there was a lot of praise for her. The fact that she'd managed to increase the arts budget, she brought in the pilot support scheme for artists. There was a lot of COVID money distributed. On the other hand, you look at some of the big media and arts institutions, RTE, the Abbey, now the Arts Council. You'd have to wonder about her track record in terms of, if you like, the institutional arts.
I'd say she could say that she took out the blowtorch and gave RTÉ a good going over. And we're still coming through that crisis. One of the things that's interesting at the moment is that RTÉ is hoping to achieve its reduction in staff numbers by operating a sort of a goodbye scheme. But that big package is stuck in the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform for the past 9 months. So to a certain extent, she could say, well, I did my bit, but there's other parts of government which haven't been quite so exacting. Yeah. So I think that this particular one, though, is more interesting because the question has to come, what did she know and what did she do about it and when did she know? And how many of her officials knew and what did they know? Yeah. So I think that will come under the ambit of any investigation, just as it will in relation to the Arts Council. There's like fairly new staff and new board members. But what about the people who were there 2-3 years ago? How much do they know? I think they'll also be swept up into this as well.
It's interesting, too, if a minister is going after civil servants and is desperately angry with them in his own department as well. How is that ultimately going to play out? How is that going to work between the relationship between the civil service and the government? That's going to be interesting to watch. Are Simon Harris and Patrick O'Donovan talking about people here that may well be already retired? And there's a possibility of that.
It also goes back to the number of questions being raised about DEEPER in recent weeks, the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, and brought in, of course, during the banking crash. And there was lots of talk about value for money and cutbacks, and we had all of austerity then, and DEEPER was, if you like, the crown prince of all of that. There was a lot of talk about reform. The questions being asked about DEEPER now is, are they managing to control the day-to-day spending effectively anymore, given all the bike shed stories and all the rest?
Under Patrick O'Donovan's watch, but not technically under his watch.
Yes, because he didn't know about that.
Which prompted the Labour Party leader.
Yes, the reverse Midas touch. Yeah.
Yes.
He won't like that.
But it also, the question being asked increasingly by former ministers like Eamon Ryan, Catherine Martin's colleague, whether it's got the vision for the big ticket spending we need to be investing in, for instance, water, electricity, they can't give you housing connections.
But it used to be the Department of Public Expenditure, then it became Expenditure Reform, then it became Expenditure Reform in the National Development Plan, and now it's Expenditure Reform, National Development Plan and Infrastructure Delivery. Mm-hmm. So you have a department which is suddenly expanded, which means it's also going to be stretched. And so there are questions, and it isn't just related to the issue with RTÉ and that 9 month delay. There are questions of just exactly how speedily the Department of Public Expenditure is operating. But that comes back to minister. They've got a new minister, Jack Chambers. He's in there in a couple of weeks. Maybe he's going to be able to make things happen. We'll be watching it closely.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch that space. The Shannon is back, and so is Mark Daly, Micheál.
Yeah. Mark Daly is back, having been returned for the fifth time. He gets a second tilt now at Cathaoirleach, unopposed. He's going to be standing on the shoulders of giants, he tells us. So one to watch up there in the Upper House. We'll be looking up at the giant on the shoulders.
A lot of focus on the Shannon.
I was in the Shannon just for that initial encounter, and then the newer
in
members
in the Shannon and reading Marcus Aurelius.
I was paying attention. I was paying attention to all of those interventions, but it was interesting because we've also found not just about Mark Daly, but we found out that say Fiona O'Loughlin is leader for Fianna Fáil, and Sean Klein leader for Fine Gael, but also Conor Murphy is a leader for Sinn Féin. So he's moved from being a minister in Stormont, and he's now the Sinn Féin leader. And so when Mark Daly's name was proposed, no one else was proposed. And so it was just expected Mark would walk up and take the seat. But when it was put, does all agree? Conor Murphy said no. And then it was, well, are we putting to a vote? No, we're not putting it to a vote. And so Mark Daly ascended to the seat and spoke about speaking for giants. Right. But there was a smallest, just little move by Conor Murphy to let him know, to let everyone else know, there's a new kid on the block.
Mark Daly, of course, was almost a diplomatic figure the last time when he was Cathaoirleach, especially kind of a bridge between Ireland and the US, kind of a space that he kind of has forged for himself. And it will be that could be one that could figure again.
Is he going there for St. Patrick's Day, do we know?
Well, yeah. What he did tell us is
he's going to Edinburgh, I think, is on the list.
Yes.
He has to go to Edinburgh.
But just in relation to that, it was the United States issue was part of his speech, and he was talking about the 250th anniversary of the Civil War, and that people in the United States were very conscious about the leading role that Irish people had played in that particular conflict, and he would be reminding them as well.
Some great stories about the Irish and the American Civil War.
It's worth a documentary, Aileen.
Anya. My name is Anya. Yeah, I've been Anya for a while.
But I'm just getting excited there. Maybe you should pitch that.
It's worth saying again, though, Mark Daly is one of the few who actually broke bread with Donald Trump when he came to Ireland, isn't he?
Yes. Yes.
I was speaking of senators, of course. Martin Conway.
Yeah, and that issue is still kind of doing the rounds politically. I mean, today Sinn Féin writing to the Fine Gael leader in Taoiseach, Simon Harris, saying that he needs to make a full statement on this. Of course, there are two parts to it. One is the fact that he was arrested for as he said, having a combination of alcohol and sleeping tablets and medication. But he was obviously released without charge. And then there's an earlier incident going back to 2018 that was discovered sometime after that for allegedly inappropriate behaviour with a female Oireachtas member of staff, after which Martin Conway paid €10,000 to a charity, and Fine Gael saying that the woman involved in that doesn't wish for it to go any further and is really adamant that she doesn't want her identity revealed. Nonetheless, there is political pressure on the Fine Gael leader to explain how Martin Conway did get the support of party headquarters, not just for Shannon elections in the aftermath of 2018, but also Dáil elections.
Yes, and given that Mary Lou MacDonald, under pressure, ended up having to make a statement in the Dáil about fairly similar incidents in her own party towards the end of the last Dáil, was a precedent set?
Well, I think from Fine Gael, say there's a gulf of difference in relation to what was happening to a Sinn Féin senator in relation to Martin Conway, but that's clearly an issue of debate.
Obviously, and you're back to what did the leader know and when did they know it?
And from, you know, Simon Harris' point of view, A, this happened 7 years ago. B, 5 years ago, a deal was done. C, the woman at the centre of it does not want her identity effectively opened, which means he, the leader, for a matter of months is really sort of in something of a bind. Not so, say, Sinn Féin. If someone was found to have been engaging in inappropriate conduct, why were they allowed to stand a short time later?
There's still a sense of settling in around the place, isn't there? When do the committees get up and running?
They're saying it could be a few weeks yet, and when you look at what's happening with the Arts Council, I suppose that would be an obvious place where the real pressure could be applied, either in the Public Accounts Committee or in the Arts Committee, whatever way that's going to be constituted. So that's going to take a bit of time. Those within government say that there's a very strange feeling this time compared to other times. And that's all really to do with the fact that they don't know what's going to happen internationally. So you can't really set the plan with any great confidence about the economic short-term future. So as a result of all this, definitely a sense that things haven't settled yet. But the big pressure point domestically does remain housing. And as long as that's been discussed and coming up every week, the government are under pressure.
Who's minding the house during St. Patrick's Day when they're all
good
away?
Good Kerryman.
And a Kildare man as well, though. So it's the two people at agriculture, Martin Hayden and Michael Healy-Ray, who will go to the early parade in Dingle and said he will do everything to make sure everything's done right. And he hopes there isn't a calamity, though.
And 6 o'clock that parade takes place, doesn't it? Yeah. An early morning.
Yeah.
Oh, you're tough folk down there, aren't you?
Well, I'm different peninsulas, really.
So between different peninsulas and Marcus Aurelius, we can't really offer you any more after that. We'll be back next week and we'll talk to you again then. Cheers.